bright and morning star, which chills to light the way for my ever wandering heart. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me. Because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours.
as I realized that it was my time to sing, I was in a lot of thought as to what I would sing. And since we're starting a new year, I thought, well, everybody is out making resolutions, and this is my resolution.
Everything that's good, we need more of, and we need to commit to it. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to John chapter 15. With it being the new year starting, I wanted to preach a message this morning that deals with that. I believe that it is an appropriate this time of year, excuse my voice, that we evaluate the last year, how we ended up with the Lord and our walk with Him, and our new year as we begin. And there are many, as she said, there are resolutions that have been made, thoughts that we have of things that we would like to do better or have more of, etc., or to do different than what we did this past year. The most important parts of all projects are the start and the ending. Now, I'm not saying that the middle is not important. It certainly shows our faithfulness, our determination, and discipline to stick to it. But we've just, as I said, finished a year here. And as you look back, and I hope you take the time to look back and evaluate how you walked with the Lord in your spiritual life. Were you faithful? Were you looking into His Word and learning? Were you putting those things that you learn of God's Word into practice? Were you obedient? All of these things are things in which we need to evaluate. Now, none of us could stand here this morning and say, hey, I did it perfect. I got an A. We all fall short from those standards and from those disciplines that are there. That doesn't mean, though, that we're not to be trying and not to be pushing and pressing toward that mark. And so it is important for us to recognize and to evaluate how do you want to start this new year? How do you intend to live for Christ in this new year that He has given us? If the Lord allows us to continue to live on this earth until next year, next December, the 31st, on that Sunday, we'll stand here and evaluate ourselves how we lived during 2017. And as you know, and the older you get, you know the faster that that December is going to come. And so it is important for us to recognize that we need to evaluate and we need to make sure that we make adjustments as needful. None of us are perfect, so all of us could make adjustments in some way or another. Now, there are three things that I want us to look at that will help us to start and to end well. And I want to illustrate it this morning through the subject of hunting. I know we've got some hunters out there, and I know this is probably the last week of hunting, I believe, here in Virginia for many. And I know that that many of you, if not hunters, at least know somewhat about the sport and what's involved, whether it is by bow or black powder, rifle, etc. There are many that they're involved, and we'll look at that as an illustration to learn these points, and I hope that it'll stick with you as you think about it. Father, right now I pray that you would help us as we look into this particular subject. Your word gives us many things, Lord, that helps us in our determination and our, Lord, recognition of the direction you want for our lives and how we can best accomplish that through your power. And Father, I pray it would be for your glory as well. Lord, right now I ask that you would give me a freedom to be able to share what you've laid upon my heart. May your Holy Spirit guide me both in the words that I say as well as in the power of that to be able to share. Lord, we acknowledge that your word is powerful and it can accomplish that which you have intended for it to in our hearts. And I pray that we would not resist that in any way, but that we would be open to all and concentrate upon the message and the words that are here of yours, and that we may leave out of here today better equipped to live and to please you than when we first came in. Father, we ask now for all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want us to see here as we look, the first thing is a need for direction, God's direction. And in each one of these that we're going to look at, there's going to be the illustration. There will be the problem that we see. There will then be the test and then the correction. Those four things in each one of these that we'll look at this morning. The first one being here, needed renewed direction that we need, God's direction in our life. In hunting, it is no matter how powerful the gun or how skilled the shooter, if they're not aimed at the right target, if they're not aimed in the right direction, they won't hit anything that's worth being hit. And so it's important for us to recognize that there must be a right direction there. God has a direction, a goal, for each one of you, for each one of us. I'll put us together there. God has a goal for my life this year. God has a goal for your life this year. We're going to see that unfolded. Wouldn't it be nice if God just told us on January 1st what the total goal would be for our life for this year? But as you read the poem on the back of the bulletin there, as you read through that, it talks about things that may happen that are painful, that are sorrowful, things that may be great blessings in our life, etc. We don't know what all of those things will be. We don't know if we're going to be standing here next December 31st or whether the Lord will have taken us out of this world. None of us know those things as we face a new year. But we are to face that and seek to know what God's direction is for our lives. God has a direction. We must recognize it. We must desire it before we can ever attain it. Unlike shooting, though, once you release an arrow or once you pull a trigger on with a gun, that bullet and that arrow is going to go to a specific spot. But with our lives, though, as we may look and start out good at a particular direction or a goal, if we do not continue in our focus toward that, we can get off target ourselves. And so even though it is a good illustration, we are different from that illustration in that particular matter. We must make sure that our start is not just a good start, but that we continue And if we don't continue right on to the end, we have the potential of missing the target altogether. So therefore, the problem is that we can lose sight of God's direction, His purposes, His priorities, His plans for us in a given year or for a given situation. And therefore, we can miss His goal for us for this year. The test would be an evaluation. What should we do? We need to evaluate our focus. On what are we focusing upon? What are we keeping our attention upon? What are you looking? What are you aiming at? We need to evaluate our concentration. On what are you desiring? What is your desire today? Is it to please God or is it to please self? They're the two choices that's on the shelf, you may say. We have to make that choice in our life. We need to evaluate our priorities. We don't let other things get in the way of our following God and seeking to please Him, even accidentally. We need to be careful of letting things sidetrack us and get our attention off of the Lord. So are our priorities what God says that they should be? And then if we find that they are not, if we find that our focus is not correct, if we find that we're not concentrating to please the Lord the way that we should, then the correction is we need to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit's control. Back when my children were younger, even Lisa went through this, but especially a guy is there when we're getting ready to take them hunting. One of the things that I did was in teaching them how to shoot, especially with a rifle. We get up, and of course I'd had a talk with them about it and everything, and I would come up beside of them there, and I would put my hand on theirs and my other hand over here as they were aiming toward the target, and I would try to tell them how to look and where to aim and how to pull, just gently pull in that trigger, etc. there, until the gun went off to hit the target. And the same thing is true when we think about in our direction and following the Lord. We need gun control. And I'm not talking about what some people say. It's like, you know, use two hands. okay. We need the control of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Just like that a father may come along and try to help control when teaching a son how to shoot, then God needs to come along and help us and control our direction, our aim, how we go about doing those things. We need God's help in our lives to accomplish it. And so it is that control that must be relinquished. We need God's direction and we need the right control, and that control comes through the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be obedient unto the things that He has already shown us to do. And we need to practice those things. The Holy Spirit has already dealt with you about many things in your lives, I hope, to this point. And as He has, we need to revisit those things and we need to practice those things, because any good shooter is going to have to continually practice the good practices of shooting, the principles in which makes them to be a good shot. And if they do not, they will grow sloppy in their shooting. The same thing is true in our lives there. We have got to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit's control. We've got to subject ourselves to Bible teaching. We've got to learn, because you cannot submit to that which you do not know. And so it's important for us to know and to learn what God says in His Word. And if we're not taking the truth of God's Word and putting it in our lives, in our minds, how can we possibly please God if we don't know what's pleasing to Him? How can we possibly obey God if we don't know what He has commanded? How can we possibly do the things and practice the principles that He has placed there for us if we don't know what those principles are? And so it's important for us to subject ourselves to Bible teaching. Sometimes I think it's important for us to evaluate our practices when it comes to going to church. Some people are in the habit, I believe, of coming to church on Sunday morning only at 11 o'clock. Now, if that's the only time that you can make it here, I understand. But I think sometimes that we need to look and say, you know, there are other teachings in Sunday school. There are teaching times with our adult Bible study that we need to get involved with, our young people, with our youth ministry, etc. All of these are opportunities that we have to learn. And there are some great things that we can learn outside of a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And so we need to subject ourselves to the Bible teaching that God has made available to us. Not only do we need a renewed direction in our life, though, we also need a renewed velocity. Any bullet or arrow that does not have the proper power projecting it is going to fall short of the target. I brought with me this morning here a real arrow here and this little bow. And if I put this arrow on this bow right here, and I aimed it, and if I could get those doors open in there, but if I aimed it toward the front door of the church, I'm not going to shoot this thing, by the way, I might make it halfway down the aisle right here. It does not have the power to get it there. But if I put it in this big boy right here and aimed it toward the front door of the church, it would put this arrow through that door at least partway, because it has the power to get it there. Frank, thank you so much for letting me use that. I'll try not to trip over it anymore. But we have here then a lesson to understand that the power is important. Renewed velocity is God's power in our particular lives there. Using a toy bow would represent us trying to serve God and to obey God in our own strength. And our power falls way short of accomplishing it. Here in John chapter 15 that I ask you to turn to, there in verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." And the point is there, in order for us to be able to produce good fruit and much fruit for the Lord, we have got to have His power. We have got to be connected to the vine for the life-giving power that God gives unto us. And that is important to recognize, for without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. In Psalm 127 and verse 1, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." We can look at the efforts of whatever God has called us to do, whatever the plan, whatever the goal, whatever the direction that God places on us in this new year. And in our own strength, we will fail. It will be in vain. But with the Lord, except He be involved, it's going to be nothing, but He will bring it to pass. He told Zechariah in Zechariah 4:6, He told Zerubbabel concerning building the temple there, "Not by might, not by your might, not by your power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." It is through the Holy Spirit of God, through God's power, that we can accomplish anything. The problem is there that we rely too often upon our puny efforts to try to accomplish God's eternal works. And it does not last for eternity when I'm doing it out of my power. Only when I have the Holy Spirit's power can I accomplish that. So the test again then comes to evaluate, self-evaluation. Do I approach each task that God lays before me without stopping there to acknowledge, first of all, "Lord, I cannot do these things on my own, and that I must have your Spirit's power." That's so important for us to recognize and for us to acknowledge. So then the correction to the problem of us trying to do it out of our own strength would be two parts, one in action and one in attitude. The action should be that we need to confess our sinful self-reliance. When we try to do things on our own, that is self-reliance. And that is a sin because God has commanded us not to do that, but to rely upon Him. He's told us we can't do it in our own strength. Not for anything that will last for eternity other than by His mercy that He would accomplish. But we have here that we need to confess first our sinful self-reliance. Then we need to acknowledge our inadequacy. "Lord, I cannot do this apart from you." And then we need to ask for God's power in our lives. That's so important. That's one of the things that I decided back years ago, 1990, right after the church called me officially as pastor there in September. And that time I sat down and I decided I wanted to pick out a ministry verse. And that ministry verse there in 1 Chronicles 4:10, the prayer of Jabez, I chose for a reason. There are four things within that was significant. One, it says there that Jabez prayed. He says, "Lord, that thou would bless me indeed." I wanted God's hand of blessing to be on me as I ministered here in His church to His people. Secondly, it says, "If you would enlarge my coast, my borders of opportunity of ministry." That He would not only just grow our church, but that He would give me opportunities beyond our church to minister as well. And He's done that many times over the years through funerals that I've had and people in the community, etc., that I've never met before. But I had opportunity to preach the gospel there in a funeral of those that probably would never sit in our church for another reason. And so there are things like that God has done as well. And then the third one, and this is the one I want you to see, is that thy hand would be with me. God's hand, remember as we said, not only for guidance there, but God's hand is representative of His power. And so many times I pray, and I have that in a little plaque there above my desk, there my computer desk, that says there the prayer of Jabez, and I look at that often and I'm reminded, Lord, I need for Your blessing to be upon me. I need for You to enlarge my coast. I need for Your hand to be upon me in Your power and Your direction. And I need, the last one is, that You would keep me from the evil, both from the evil one and from the evil work, that I not do those things that would hinder my being able to be a clean vessel and used of You. Excuse me. Ah, break time. A little water go a long ways. So we have then the action there. We confess our sinful self-reliance. We acknowledge that apart from God we can do nothing. And we ask for His power upon us to be able to accomplish what He has given us direction for. And the attitude, if you want to flip over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's an invasion going on into Judah there. And there's the Amorites and the Amalekites, I believe it is there. The Moabites and the Amorites are coming in to invade. And Jehoshaphat there, the king, begins to bring the people together to pray. And look down to verse 12 in the prayer. He says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. All right, here is in his prayer, he is saying, Lord, you're going to have to do something here because we don't have the power to do this. I don't even know exactly what to do. Excuse me. But he says, my focus will be upon you. My concentration is going to be upon you. Lord, the devil is strong. The task is great. I'm going to keep my concentration on you. Whatever the task, that should be our attitude there. Renewed velocity. We need to have the Holy Spirit's power. And then last, we need a renewed integrity. In the illustration there, whether it is a bullet or whether it is an arrow, if it loses its integrity in flight, it will have diminished accuracy. Now, with a bullet, if you can imagine, if a bullet, after it is fired, would come apart, well, obviously, it's not going to hit the target the way that it should. If an arrow, in some way, the fletching were to come off, or if the razor tip were to shift, or if the arrow become bent or to fray in some way, then it's going to be diminished in its accuracy there. The integrity is affected. For us, as we look at the problem then, the integrity that's diminished there, that flaw would represent sin in our life. Sin in our life there will affect the outcome of our life direction. our accuracy, our arrow that is flying for the Lord. No matter how much power the bow has, no matter how true of aim and direction, if the integrity is lost, the accuracy is diminished. And so we need to recognize that no matter how powerful, no matter how true the direction there, if I allow sin in my life and I'm trying to serve the Lord there, it's going to affect the outcome. And too often I'm fearful that as Christians, we allow sin to sit in our lives that we don't deal with. We know it's there, but we're not willing to tackle it. We put it in the closet of our mind and we close the door, out of sight, out of mind, and we go on with our life. But God still knows it's there. And we still do if we think about it. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to evaluate when it comes to our life. We need to compare ourselves there to see whether or not our arrow, our bullet is diminished there in its integrity at all. So it is an evaluation. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, it says, "But let a man examine himself." This is in the context there of the Lord's Supper. And it says there that there were many that had sin in their life, and they were partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily, in an unworthy manner. But he says, "Let a man examine himself, and then let him partake." And the idea is that we examine ourselves, and if we see that there is any sin that we have not repented of and not confessed, that we would confess that and repent of it there before the Lord and then partake of the Lord's Supper. It was an evaluation about sin in our life. But we are to evaluate ourselves in comparison to who or to what? When my boys were hunting, we would go hunting with David Schultz there some, and before we would start the season, we would go sight in our guns, our rifles, and we would all go out to Tippy Hamilton's and had a big place out there that we could shoot, and we would put up the targets out there, and each one of us get back, 7,500 yards, whatever it was that we set, and we would sit out there and we would shoot about three times and then go see how close we were to the bullseye. And let's say, for instance, that the four of us or so were out there shooting and we all shot and then we put our guns down and we walked up there to see. And on mine, I got 12 inches, within 12 inches of the bullseye. And everybody else just missed the target altogether. Could I say, "Hey, yeah, man, I did better than all the rest of them. I'm ready to go hunting." Is that right? Yep. David, if I'm going to go hunting successfully, if I'm missing 12 inches? No, can't do that. So it's not in comparison to how everybody else did, but it's in comparison to what? It's in comparison to that which doesn't move, doesn't change, and that's the target. You see, not until I can get my gun where it's consistently hitting close to that target, that bullseye, am I ready to hunt. And so when I compare, I cannot compare myself with other people because other people are not the bullseye. I'm not trying to be like other people. I'm not trying to be just better than other people. But I'm trying to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the target. He's the one that I'm to mimic in my life. We're told in 2 Corinthians 10:12, he says, "But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." And so if you look around and you say, "I'm better than so-and-so, they don't want to go to church once every 2 or 3 weeks, I make it in at least once a week." Well, what's that compared to? What does God want for your life? What is God expecting from you? What is the goal, the target that God has given for you? And then are you meeting that target or are you falling short of that target? Remember, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's not acceptable. That's a fact, but it's not acceptable. We are to be pursuing perfection. "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's God's command for us. And He expects us to be that. He understands that we will miss, but it is not an excuse, it is a fact, and we are to be aiming toward and pushing toward that mark of perfection to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if I am going to be like the living Word of God, I need to get in to the written Word of God and find out what He's like. Because this book reveals Jesus Christ. And so it's important for me to understand the book. And then what is the correction? If after evaluation, I see that my spiritual arrow is diminished and it does not have the integrity because it has sin, then what is the obvious correction to it? I need to repent. I need to forsake my sin and confess unto the Lord. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy," shall have God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so God will forgive and He will renew our spiritual integrity if we would genuinely repent of our sins and confess it unto Him and receive His restoration through forgiveness. Renewed integrity, our need to get rid of sin. So we need renewed direction, God's direction. We need renewed velocity. We need God's power. And we need renewed integrity, that is, to be a clean vessel for God to use. Now, with those things in mind, there's one more thing that I want to share with you. One more thing, and I mentioned it earlier this morning. Whether we have the right direction in God's power or renewed integrity, etc., there, that's important. But the lack of discipline is a critical failing point. The lack of discipline is a critical failing point. No matter how well we start in the right direction here for 2017, no matter how much we may desire God's power and want to be a clean vessel and so forth, if we do not continue each day, we're going to fall, we're going to fail, we're going to miss the target, the goal. We need discipline in order to continue in the right direction. So how did you start this last year? How did you start 2016? Did you start out wanting to please the Lord? Did you start out saying, I want to be more faithful? Did you start out saying, I want to have more of these things as the ladies sing? How did you finish 2016? Did you stick with it? See, that's where the critical failing point can be. God will do His part, but we've got to stick to our part. How will you start 2017 today? What will be your commitment? The choice is yours right now. But guess what? The choice is yours tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. For 365 days, we have to be consistent because a living sacrifice wants to crawl off the altar. And we have to put ourselves there every day. I die daily is the statement. And we need to be with the same choice every day. Every head bow, please. You've heard the message this morning. I hope that you've understood its significance. This is the perfect time. January the 1st, to make the commitments that God wants you to make. You know so much of what God wants for your life already. Won't you commit to doing what you already know? And will you submit yourself, subject yourself to learning more? Every opportunity you get, our flesh says, hey, I think it'd be nice just to stay home. I've been working hard. I'm tired. But wouldn't it be pleasing to God and beneficial to us if we would take every opportunity to be under the teaching and preaching of God's Word? What's your commitment for this year? Will you seek God's power to meet that direction? And will you seek to keep your life with the integrity it needs by keeping sin out? And what sin accidentally comes in, to immediately, quickly turn from it and confess. And ask God to help us for the discipline that we need to follow through. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand how simple yet very easy, simple to do but very easy to fall, to follow you. Lord, you've not asked anything super difficult. But Lord, it is demanding. And I pray that we would seek your help to be disciplined Christians in following you, especially for what we already know here in 2017. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.